Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I want to start by thanking you, our listeners. We're so grateful for your encouragement and support. Please remember that you can always visit our website, goodnewschristianministries.ca or gncm.ca as well. If you miss an episode of the show, you can go to our website and download the podcast or the MP3 of our broadcast. Details can be found on the website. Today, again, we're thanking Will's Transfer, a local company that provides full-service logistics and warehousing services in eastern Ontario and western Quebec since 1945. They have been so good to us, so friendly to us, by sponsoring the programs through the month of March, and we're delighted with their support. The Sunday of broadcast for this particular episode will be the Sunday before Palm Sunday. We're right in the last couple of weeks before Easter. And so I wanted to share with you one of my favorite passages, a prophecy concerning the cross of Jesus Christ, taken from the book of Isaiah. There Isaiah is given this message from God. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This word from Isaiah chapter 53 is a great look into the meaning of Jesus' death on the cross, a prophecy spoken about him some 700 years before he was even born. And it tells us a few things about Jesus, but the ones I want to focus on today are the fact that he was pierced for our transgressions, that he took up our infirmities, and by his wounds we are healed. We'll take a look at what this means in a few moments, but first I'd like to hear a song that expresses something of our great love for Jesus Christ, and I hope you'll listen to it with me.
Surely, surely, dear Lord, I
So we were just listening to a passage from Handel's Messiah, sung by the Scholars Baroque Ensemble, called Surely He Has Borne Our Griefs. It's a very classical rendition of the very scriptures that we were just reading. And Handel's Messiah does a tremendous job of using the scriptures to tell the story of Jesus in words of prophecy, in words of revelation, and in words from his life. Now, as we go on, let's ask how it is that Jesus has borne our griefs, borne our transgressions and our infirmities, how we have been healed through his death on the cross. First, let's ask the question, who can carry your burdens? We're often describing the things we go through in life, the difficulties, as burdens. And that idea suggests a heavy weight. A literal burden is a pack on your back filled with heavy weights, something that you have to carry for some reason, something that needs to be taken somewhere, something that needs to be dealt with. Sometimes a burden is a thing that you're glad to carry. Perhaps it's a present for someone else, a good thing, or perhaps it's a feast, a picnic feast that you're taking on a hike with you. And though it's heavy to carry, at the end of the day, you're glad to sit down and open up that basket and take a look at what's inside. But there are also those burdens we carry that are not happy burdens. We could be carrying garbage out to the curb, and we're doing our best not to get any more involved with the garbage than we have to. We could be carrying a burden in which the outcome of our journey is uncertain. Perhaps we're taking someone who's fallen and we're trying to carry them to help, and we're desperately hoping we can get them there on time. But there are burdens that are not physical burdens as well. There's the worries that we carry, the uncertainty about the future. That can be a very difficult thing to carry, because unless we have some reason to trust that the future will be good, that burden can be unbearable. We can talk about the burden of guilt. Guilt is sometimes a false burden. Sometimes people feel guilty for things that they really don't need to feel guilty about, things that weren't wrong in the first place or things that weren't their fault. That false burden is a difficult one to get off, because an imaginary burden is very hard to take hold of, very hard to release. But sometimes there's the true burden of guilt, when we know that we've done harm to somebody and we don't know how to make it up. Perhaps we carry that burden until we go to the person and we ask for their forgiveness. Perhaps that person may insist that we do something to prove that we're serious or to make up the damage we've done. Sometimes the burden is a debt that's as real as a debt of money, and until we've paid it back to the person, they just won't let it go. But who can carry your burdens for you? Can anyone? Is there anyone who can take the physical burdens we carry? Well, of course there are. The person has to be strong enough to actually carry them. They have to be capable and they have to be willing. And so if you've been asked to take out the garbage, perhaps you're able to enlist someone else in the task. And if you're Tom Sawyer asked to paint a fence, you might be able to actually get people to pay you to do the job for you. But most of our burdens we need help with, and we have to depend on someone else's mercy in order to get the help we need. Whether it's flagging down a car on a rainy night when we're stuck beside the highway, we just hope that somebody feels some kindness and compassion in their heart and are ready to carry our burdens. We do know that Jesus is compassionate, and we know that God is able to carry any burdens that we need help with. Obviously, our focus in turning to God is on the spiritual burdens we have, the burdens of guilt, the burdens of anxiety, wondering about the future, wondering about our significance, wondering about what punishment might be laid up for us because of our wrongs. It's often spoken that Jesus can carry our burdens, and indeed he can. But may I ask another question? Who can forgive our sins? I mean, if we've done wrong, how is it, who is it that can forgive us our sins? And I'm sure that the answer that immediately comes to mind is either only the person you've done wrong to can truly forgive you. And secondly, that only God can forgive sins. Both these answers are found in experience and in the Bible. In fact, when Jesus goes to forgive the sins of a paralyzed man, some of the Pharisees take offense and say, "How can you, Jesus, forgive this guy's sins? Only God can forgive sins." Well, they're speaking something of a truth there. When God forgives sins, it's because it is God who has been sinned against. When we rebel against God, when we do harm to one of his children, not only have we sinned against his children, but we've also sinned against the Father whose children were hurt, whose children were damaged by our sin. So God does need to be involved in the forgiveness of sin, doesn't he? There's not one sin that you can do, not one sin, even if it's against yourself, that doesn't also affect God, because you are his. You are his child whom he loves. Anyone you've hurt is someone loved by God. Anyone who has been turned towards wickedness by the injury that you've done to them is someone that God intended to save and to love. There's been a lot of damage done by sin, and I often suggest that even the smallest sins are like pebbles thrown down a mountain that's ripe for an avalanche. Even the smallest change can cause a cascade of consequences that we can never repair. When we disobey God and disregard his call, when we act in an unloving manner or an uncaring manner, then we have created a burden of guilt that is not easily shifted. Because one action affects another action and there's a cascade of effects, even if we've hurt one person by our sin, within no time at all, there are many people that have been hurt as well. The relatives of the person who's been hurt, the people that have been struck out at as that person in anger or pain has hurt others themselves, there's a cascade of effects. Who in the end can forgive all these sins? The answer to the question really is Jesus. And Jesus can forgive the sins that you've committed against him and the sins that you've committed against humanity, because he is the one who ultimately is going to take all the harm and take responsibility for repairing it all. There is one who can heal our iniquities, who can forgive us our sins, who can take up our infirmities and heal us by his wounds. And that one is Jesus, and the place he does it is at the cross. The next song we're going to hear is from a group called Destiny, a local Ottawa singing group from a couple years ago, and their song is At the Cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Rolled away was there. By faith I received my sight. Crimes that I have done, he groaned upon the tree.
amazing pity, grace unknown and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day, all the day.
At the cross is where we find our burdens lifted, our guilt taken away, our sins forgiven, and the power of sin broken in our lives. One of the great songs that tells us about this, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, is a song that has the words, "Be of sin the double cure, cleanse me of its guilt and its power." That phrase is a very important one to understand the fullness of what Christ has done on the cross. You see, on the cross, he does show that he's willing to forgive anything. If we don't believe that, we need only listen to his words from the cross. When he looks at those who have crucified him, who have unjustly condemned him, some of whom were doing it out of malevolence, some of whom were just following orders. There were people mocking him. There were people insulting him. And of course, there were those that had pierced him. And he says to his Father in heaven, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Can you imagine the grace of the man who, while dying on the cross, is able to say, "Forgive these people who are even now doing this to me"? Well, that's the message for you and for me, that whatever we have done, whatever harm we have caused, directly to God or to one of the children that he deeply loves, God is able and willing to forgive us. And so he's pierced for our transgressions. We can be sure of that. But we need to be freed from more than just the guilt of sin. We need to be freed from the power of sin as well. That is to say, it's all very well for my past sins to be forgiven, but do I want to continue sinning? Do I want to keep on hurting others and offending God and damaging my own soul? Of course I don't. And yet, as Paul the Apostle himself says, sometimes we find ourselves doing the very thing we didn't want to do and finding that this power seems to be working in us, the power of sin seems to be working in us, so that we stop doing the things we should be doing, the things we want to do, and we start returning to those old ways. Paul says to us, to our comfort, you know, that just shows that it's sin at work in us, that we've got a new nature, a nature that wants to do good. But we need that power of sin stopped in our lives as well. And Jesus, through the cross, puts sin to death. That's the image that's used frequently in the Bible, that when you go to Jesus and you give him your sin, he not only cancels the guilt, but he is in the process of putting that sin to death. That is, to ending its power, ending its existence, ending its ability to affect you and others by its malevolence. And so we go to God asking not just for forgiveness, but also that we might be crucified with Christ, that spiritually that old nature of sin would be entirely ended, that might be a past chapter in our life and not trouble us again. And we also come to him through the cross, because it's through the death on the cross that Jesus experiences the resurrection and he's raised to a glorious new life. And likewise, those who come to him and cast their burdens on him at the cross are also, as they're crucified with him, also raised with him to new life, to a life free from sin. Now, I've got to admit, in my own life, this is a process. I expect you found the same thing, that some sins that you used to struggle with are gone entirely and you've been delivered from their power. Some areas of your life, you're still struggling, and God is still at work, completing the work that he's begun in you. But the good news is he will complete it. Paul specifies this in the letter to the Philippians, giving thanks to God, knowing that God will complete the work that he's begun in the people of Philippi and preparing them to be blameless on the day of the Lord. That's good news. But there is a further aspect of the cross. When I look at the sins I've committed, they haven't just hurt me in my spiritual life. They're sins precisely because they've hurt others. My words and my actions, in your words and actions, have damaged other people. And those people, we can put ourselves into their shoes very easily because we ourselves have been hurt by words and actions of others, and we know how difficult it can be to climb out of the pit that others have prepared for us. What about those we've hurt? Are they going to be healed? Are they going to be lifted up? Are they going to be set free from the damage we've done? We certainly pray that they will, don't we? And when we come to the cross, we discover that Jesus doesn't just forgive sins. He doesn't just break the power of sin, but by his wounds, we are also healed. Are you suffering hurt in your life because of something somebody else did to you? Whether it was a bully in the schoolyard or the betrayal of a close friend, or whether it was just some random thief taking something precious to you. You can be healed of the hurt that has been caused. God can recompense you for the damage that has been done. That's a truth of Scripture, a truth of the cross that is precious to us all. But the good news that is in addition to that is that those that you have hurt can be healed by the cross. That Jesus can set all things right, that by his wounds they can be healed as well. It would be a sad story if we were only forgiven for our sins, but God was not able to repair the harm. And the good news of the gospel is that through the cross, he can repair the harm. Well, finally, we can ask the question that Isaiah asked. Who has believed our message? Who has believed that their sins are forgiven? Who has believed that they can be healed through Jesus Christ? Who has believed that the power of sin can be canceled and that we can be free from its domination? That we can be, as Paul says, in effect, slaves to righteousness at last, instead of being slaves to sin? Have you thanked Jesus for what he has done? Have you taken up your mat and walked into new life? Have you rejoiced in the forgiveness that you have through the cross? What a privilege it is, what a joy it is to lay those burdens down, to be free from the guilt, to know that God does not hold it against you anymore, that he has taken your debt and he's canceled it entirely. It is a freedom from guilt, a freedom from shame, a freedom for new life, and it's yours in Christ. Let's give thanks to God. Almighty God, praise be to your name, that you on the cross are undoing all the harm that sin has done in our lives and in the lives of others. Lord, we thank you that through receiving you, we can be joined into your everlasting kingdom, that we can rejoice with the others who have been freed, that we can rejoice to see our friends and those we have harmed healed, that we can rejoice to see a reunion of love and grace and peace in your everlasting kingdom. We give you thanks that you have done this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who we praise and magnify forever. Amen. Once again, I want to thank you, our listeners, for your encouragement and support. We do thank you because you keep us on the air week by week and as you support our ministry financially. We want to encourage you to continue in your support. And if you can, to please make a donation payable to Good News Christian Ministries. And you can send it to Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. We'll be happy to send you a receipt at income tax time. If you're listening to this broadcast through our website, you can donate on our website as well. And I do want to encourage you to tell others about this program. Please be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now, to conclude our program, I'd like you to listen to a song of praise from the Maranatha Praise Band, Awesome God. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding and accompanying love.
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.